Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Welcome to our hosts, Susan Franson and Paul Wearson.
Thanks, Mike. This will be an unusual week. Before we get to the main part of our show, we'd like to announce a nationally broadcast show that you, Mike and Pat Schlarbaum, prepared for our parent network, Pacifica. Would you please preview that for us, Mike?
Sprouts is on tomorrow at 1 p.m., right after KHOI previews the arts. This week, KHOI is making the contribution. Sprouts is a program, for those that don't know, a different community radio station contributes the content every week. And this week, it's KHOI's turn. And Local Talk, KHOI's Local Talk, is being featured from interviews that Pat Schlarbaum and I did a couple months ago. Pat interviewed environmental attorney Carolyn Raffensperger, and I interviewed Jessica Resnicek, and both about Jessica's case. Jessica, for those that don't know, did damage to the pipeline that was coming through here. She did it on, allegedly, I guess I should say, on election night of 2016, although there was some ongoing damage done, and she did it as an act of resistance and, in her words, an act of love. And she was tried and found guilty as a terrorist. And basically because she was trying to intimidate the U.S. government. And to my knowledge, the people that raided the Capitol on January 6th, chanting "Hang Mike Pence" and other ways of actually intimidating the U.S. government, not one of them has been tried as a terrorist yet. So it's interesting how she's really been singled out and tried to be made an example of. So it'll be an interesting program. Two interviews that originally aired on Local Talk a couple months ago with Jessica and, again, with the environmental attorney, Carolyn Raffensperger, both very insightful things. So that's tomorrow at 1 p.m. Yeah, so that's I'm looking forward to hearing that. Sprouts gets aired on many community radio stations around the country, so KHOI will be in the spotlight.
Thanks, Mike, for calling attention to KHOI's contribution to Sprouts tomorrow at 1 p.m. And thanks for providing the background. For the balance of Local Talk today, we'll turn to hotly contested school board elections. Carolyn Klaus, president of the Ames and Story County League of Women Voters, is here to guide us through preparations for voting and comparing the issues. Welcome to Carolyn. Thank you for being with us today. To get some election news out, we have an election coming up in the very beginning of November, and there's going to be deadlines. And I think as the president of the League of Women Voters, you can really help us with those deadlines. You also had a forum with the Ames School Board candidates.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, it's certainly great to have you here. And thank you for coming in first.
Yeah, let me tell you, things are ending and things are beginning this week. Basically, our efforts to do voter registration will come to an end at the end of this week, because today is the first day you can go to the county auditor's office over in Nevada and vote. Voting starts today. It's early voting. It's on an absentee ballot basis, but I was just trying to check on the hours at the auditor's office. They used to be 8 to 5, but I think they're 8 to 4:30 at this time. So you might want to call ahead of time over there to the auditor's office at 515-382-7210 and check that later time because I think they moved it up to 4:30. But guess what? If you don't want to go to Nevada today, you can vote in Ames tomorrow. We've petitioned to have three locations for early voting in Ames. We will be doing at the Sheman Building in the Hilton Coliseum Complex area from 10 to 4 tomorrow. It's a ideal place to vote because of, guess what? You can pull in the lines of, I doubt if the lines are long this year. And we're there from 10 to 4. You can get in, get out. And guess what? You don't have to find a quarter to park or anything like that. The next location will be Friday, October 22nd, and that's in Memorial Union. Now, anybody in Story County who has a residence address and is registered in Story County can vote at Satellite. So you do not have to live in, you know, in Ames. You can live, but you do have to live in Story County. The good thing about Satellite voting also, you do not have to be registered. We can register you. Things change when you are next week. You'll have to show proof of residency when you come starting on October 22nd. Tomorrow, if you come to register, you don't have to show proof. But on the October 22nd one, you will. On October 30, we will be at the Ames Public Library to do Satellite voting. And again, that will be 10 to 4. But on any of those dates, you can go over to Nevada, take a drive. Now that it's rained, you know, we'll see if they got all the corn and beans out. So you can check that out. So, but you can always vote over in the county auditor's office during this time. Susan mentioned we had a school board forum on October 7th at the Ames Public Library. It was very well attended by the Ames community and people interested in that race. So that is also available for viewing at the League of Women Voters Ames and Story County Facebook page. We're working to get it up on YouTube also. As of yesterday, you want to learn about the candidates and what they've had to say, our vote411.org. That's V-O-T-E, 411.org, went live. And the candidates who participated in giving a bio of them, of each, and answering several questions is now live. You go into that location, you put in your personal address, and you click on, you want to see your, what comes up is the races in your area. It looks very good. Several of them have submitted pictures of themselves, and it's very good information. Great way to learn about that for the Ames and City one. We have done it for all of Story County, given each of the city and the school board races an opportunity to introduce themselves. So please get the word out that people can check out the candidates on vote411.org. So,
wow. That's a lot to absorb.
Yes. So, and then guess what? On November 2nd, you can vote in person at your precinct. If you don't know where your precinct is, you can go and check with the Story County Auditor's website. Check out where they are because things change. There's construction. There's locations have COVID issues, and have not opened it up. So please.
This does present me with an opportunity to talk about these races with you. I did listen to the League of Women Voters forum, and I had previously edited detailed 15-minute interviews that were given on local talk, but only for four candidates. So while I could, I can tell you where you could hear them, but it was disappointing to me that the 3 minutes that they gave were so much, had so, not surprisingly, they had a lot less information about their positions and who they were than the 15-minute interviews, two of which, incidentally, will be heard this noon. This noon, because we will do a replay of Capital Week, and these were done for Capital Week. And I did not get sound from Boone, although I have some pretty detailed reporting about that. All three of the local election sites that I covered had an issue with masks. In fact, in Boone, they actually had a sub-meeting to talk about masks. It was just a regular school board meeting, and then they had another one to talk about masks because they were so divided. The president of the school board in Boone is a medical doctor, so you can probably guess which way the school board had voted, but it was a 5-4 decision, and there are a lot of people who are very, very unhappy that they lifted the mask mandate. That it wasn't an issue over in Nevada, but I have a wonderful interview over in Nevada that Pat Schlarbaum got me, and that is almost an hour, which of course I do have a short clip of that, that was most interesting because, as you can imagine, since it was an hour, it was a weekly program that they do a coffee with the candidates at the farm grounds over in Nevada, and there was a pretty good sized crowd there. And it was a way for the people of Nevada to talk to each other about the issues that they thought were important. And so that was very interesting, but obviously what we have, we can play to illustrate the... Mike, would you play the clip that I have for you from Nevada with the music?
Yes, I'll be glad to do that.
The two speakers are father and son, and they're not running against each other. As you can hear, they're really kind of running as a team. They agree that they have, you know, different generational perspectives. And so have you got it? Yes.
In Nevada, there are hour-long discussions every Saturday morning at the farm grounds called Coffee with the Candidates, hosted by Luke Spence and recorded for us by Pat Schlarbaum. We have selections from October 9th, 2021, with two school board candidates, Charlie and Austin Good, father and son. Here's a sample of how they work together.
I spent a lot of time preparing for this.
One thing about Austin, he's very, very analytical. You know, You guys that know me know I'm a little hot-headed right off the top. But the one trait that Austin got that wasn't from me is analytical. He's very, very analytical. He researches everything. And in his job at Danfoss, he's a root cause person. He's a warranty expert over there. So we do have a couple different little personalities here. We don't agree on everything, but we agree on a lot. And the one thing we agree on is that we want the best for our kids. And Austin could tell you, when he was growing up as our first kid, we were having some issues in school. They weren't bullying or any of that. They were learning issues. And there became a mentoring program that Austin got involved in, and then he became a mentor. And everything that he did was things that could be used over here if they're not being used already. So he has firsthand experience of that stuff.
Most of the discussion on Saturday in Nevada was general and reflected citizen attitudes.
Letters to the school board, letters to the superintendent, letters to the principals. That's if you can't physically be there, you know, but you want your voice heard, you got to come. You got to send letters. You got to show up. You know, you talk to the people at the State House. Sometimes they make decisions down there based on one or two people. That's it. That contact them on a certain item. So they're sitting there going, what do I do? I only heard from two people. We want the school board to be open and transparent. We want to be able to say we got 73 letters today from this many parents, 73 parents, and this is what they're saying. This is something we need to look at. We need to have dialogue. This must be something that's an issue out there that we may not have our finger on the pulse of, that these parents are telling us. Where do we go from here? Let's see what happens. Let's develop a roadmap, and let's get some, whether it means calling some parents into the school and saying, hey, let's sit down and meet and talk about this so we can discuss what you wrote to us about. You know, there's all kinds of avenues for transparency and communications, but it's the family and the parent that are going to have to initiate if they don't feel right.
Well, the farm grounds interview was really interesting to me, but of course I can only play a little of it. But it gives the people there and anyone who heard from it an idea of what the citizens of Nevada are concerned about. And one of the things that they discussed, which was not mentioned directly in the other two, was critical race theory. And they were discussing that. I think we'll have to revisit that on Local Talk another time. Another thing that was interesting that I think was also a problem in Ames is bullying. And there were Carolyn?
On our Vote 411 .org, we ask each of the candidates five questions. Let me tell you the questions that we asked our candidates, and these went out to the school boards throughout the county. The first question is it the role of the school board to identify issues pertaining to student conduct? The second question, how should student learning goals be established and accountability assigned? Number three, what is your assessment of current strategies for prevention of bullying and bullying incidents? Number four, critical race theory has become an expression for race-related topics. What is the role of the school board with respect to such topics? And the last question, should teachers be barred from teaching about historic and current forms of institutional racism? So those were five questions, and those have been presented to all the school board candidates in the county. So, and all but one of the candidates in Ames has answered those questions. So go on and check them out if you want to read about how they feel about bullying, race theory, those different aspects and achievements. So
vote411.org.
Put your address in and your ballot comes up.
Wow.
In the candidates. So it is a great tool, and it, you know, it takes quite a bit of work by our league people to basically, the hardest part is enticing the candidates that this is important. We want our community to know how you feel about these things. Get your answer these. Tell us about yourself. So it's very informative.
I thought it was interesting. You told me that 2,200 people had watched your forum.
Oh, no, 2,500. We're up to 2,500 people have
more people than I said, not less.
Right. It grows every day. So, and there are additional forums. There's one tomorrow night at the library by another organization, and there's one later, I think October 27th at the library. So there are many opportunities to meet the school board candidates, which is a very hotly contested race for here in Ames and several of the cities. The league will also be doing Zoom forums for Zering. We're looking at doing one in Nevada, but we don't have that one set up. But school boards are out there. Gilbert, they're doing their own. They're doing a forum for them. So if people are looking to check it out, you know, check with your school boards and things like that and say, when is that forum? Because there is one. The league will not be doing it, but they're having these. So the city of Ames, we regret that we're not doing a forum or meet the candidates event. But maybe we'll throw one in at the last for the city council, because the there's no really there's only one contested issue candidacy, and that is for the at large between Amber Corrieri and Aween Majik. So we'll. Some things change all the time with elections.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all that information. This is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Your hosts for today have been Susan Franzen and Paul Pearson, joined by our new host, Anna Magnuson. Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Yes. I'm so happy to be on, Susan. I'm a huge fan of yours and Paul and Mike, of course. And so this is a great discussion about what's going on in our community. You do a great job leading us. It was really interesting listening to the son and the father when you were just talking in that previous interview, Susan. So that must have been a really interesting interview for you.
Oh, yes. It's one of the things that's really great about hosting and editing for a local talk is, you know, I wouldn't pay all that much attention to a lot of these interviews if I didn't have to edit them. And then I really notice them and listen carefully. And I think, oh, I wish everybody could hear this, but they have to be paying attention or they will miss it.
Well, we're listening, Susan, because I think that on KHOI and Local Talk, I think that this is one of the reasons why we do this program, is to help disseminate that information and connect it to the local level. I love that it's right over in Nevada in that little coffee shop that all those important discussions are happening.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting to me just getting to know the people in our listening area. That was one of the reasons I did the show, is because it was a tendency just to focus on Ames. And of course, we have more candidates that are more interested in Ames, but there's plenty of interest out there in all of the other communities. And quite heated interest. So I think, and I'm glad that Carolyn had a chance to tell us where people could get the answers to the questions from the school board candidates.
For information about, for a list of all the candidates for all the towns in Story County, go to Philip Sitter's article in the Ames Tribune, October 12th, 2021. That's the updated version, October 12th, 2021.
Where did you go to school, Anna?
Well, I went to Hoover and Roosevelt High School in Des Moines. So I graduated from Roosevelt High School in Des Moines. And one of the things I wanted to say, because as I'm listening to the candidates, I think that they are very brave and courageous to be able to put themselves out because they believe in their community and whatever platform that they're running on. But I think that at least this day and age, it is really a courageous act to be able to say that you want to run for office these days. So I just want to thank all of the candidates for being brave to be able to put their voices out there, to be able to make a difference in our community. Because I might disagree with some of the candidates, but I also have enormous respect for what they're doing because they believe in making a difference. But I can tell you, I would not run. I would be scared to run.
Oh, yes. And I from the times I remember calling school board candidates, the other thing is, you know, you have to answer that phone and talk to your constituents. It's not always when it's convenient, like when you're really ready to eat dinner.
That's in the morning, right? At Local Talk, you have to get up early and be able to be on point. I haven't had my coffee yet. You can tell because the brain's not quite working. So I would not be a good candidate. I would fail.
Well, fortunately, we have you here on KHOI. We don't have to go to a school board meeting to hear what you're thinking. I did want to mention one of the things I noticed with all of the candidates in Ames in particular was they said they were data driven. So they all are doing their homework. They're really paying attention to what the opinions are of their constituents. And more than that, probably the data of what works in schools. I was impressed with the experience that a lot of the candidates will bring potentially to the school board. Whoever they are, they're going to have the stats. They're going to know what they're talking about.
So Susan, would you ever consider running for office?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
When you say that with such passion, why is it that you wouldn't want to run for office?
Well, when I was much younger and was not employed, people would ask what I did. And I would say, I'm a gadfly. I make trouble. I mean, this This is 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that was my idea. I was often opposed to the situation. And so I would work with the opposition. The one I'm proudest of was working to change the Ames Human Relations Ordinance, which at that time did not include protection for people on the basis of sexual orientation. This is way back in the 70s, I guess, or 80s maybe. And there was a big group that said we shouldn't change it. We shouldn't have the quote, homosexual privileges amendment. And so that was fun to agitate for and get signatures on petitions and things like that. And we won.
So how was it that you were able to transform hearts to be able to make that possible? I mean, I think you said that was back in the 70s and 80s, but that same kind of principles probably need to happen these days about some social change. So what was it that you were able to do to be able to get people to vote for you?
Well, that's interesting. In those days, signature ads were a big thing. And so going around and getting signatures, and in those days, you didn't have to have the physical signatures. Now you do. In fact, in the 60s, I remember the FBI literally going to the newspaper and getting a signature ad to make sure that they had all the signatures. And at that time, I was working with my husband, and I was supposed to be checking the signatures. And I was supposed to, this was a scientists and engineers for Johnson.
And just to explain what scientists and engineers for Johnson was, this was 1968. And we thought that if Johnson won, he'd end the war in Vietnam, which, of course, as you know, was exactly the opposite of what happened. But that's what we thought, and that's what we were expecting he was running on. So that, just want you to know, this is really an anti-war group. You said, how did I change people's hearts and minds? There wasn't any changing. I mean, I just found out, I knew who they were. They were people I knew in a lot of cases, or they were easy to find. And so I just go with the petition, and a lot of other people did too, and got signatures, said, we'll support Johnson, because we think he'll end the war. That shows it doesn't always work out the way you expect it to. Actually, this gives me a chance to tell one of my favorite stories, because when I was checking these signatures, I was checking them against a list of faculty and staff at Iowa State. And I didn't notice it, but there were two line weavers. There was one on one page, and then turned the page and there was the other one. And one was J.G. Weinweaver and the other was J.J. Weinweaver. And I got the wrong one when I copied it down and checked it. I said, yes, J.G. Weinweaver is a member of the ISU staff. When the ad came out, we got an angry phone call from Mr. Lineweaver, and he said that he had not signed this and that this was a mistake. And we said, yes, well, this was a mistake. We got the wrong initials for the other Lineweaver who works in the library. And this man worked in 4-H, and he said, this is going to interfere with my getting grants. We said, we will write to the FBI and ask them to change it. Tell them to change it. And that's what we did. We kind of chuckled, you know, who's going to care? And in a few days, we got a letter signed by J. Edgar Hoover. Wasn't a stamp or anything. He signed it. And it said, we have corrected our files. That was scary.
Wow.
That was the 60s.
Yes.
And in fact, a lot of things that were, protests in the 60s are law now.
Right. Well, but when you were making that change in the 70s, 80s in here in Ames, Iowa, when you're knocking on the doors to get those signatures, were people slamming the door in your face or yelling at you? Or were they like, yes, I'd like to sign it? How was that?
Well, the one I remember best was the 600 signatures we got to change the Ames Human Relations Ordinance. And for that, we didn't have to have physical signatures. So I just called people. And it was interesting because it was my first realization of how frightened gay people were, because you could tell when they said they would sign, if they said, anybody would sign this, and kind of hesitantly, they were probably gay. And if they said, of course, I'm proud to sign this.
Interesting. So I think, Paul, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so as you're hearing Susan's story and as we're thinking about the candidates, what do you think it takes to be able to run for office and make change?
Well, I'm not planning to run for office particularly in this environment. A lot of the school board elections have issues coming to the fore because a lot of these issues have come up down in Des Moines in the state legislature, such as the critical race theory. And, of course, masking is a big issue in all the schools because of what's been talked about in Des Moines, too. And Kim Reynolds' positions on this has been well known, and there have been all kinds of discussions and arguments about whether masks should be worn in the Des Moines schools and the mandates for masking. And these are all issues that have really invaded the local scene because these issues come up in the local school. And so basically you're talking about more interest in school board elections this time around than I can remember in a long time. And I think that the folks who are stepping forward to put themselves up as candidates for school boards are really in a situation where they're taking a lot more risk and forced to come out on issues that probably wouldn't be there in a normal school board election. So I think the cycle we're into now with school boards is unique in terms of the placement of this election being in the midst of so heated discussions about, I think, of the two things, masking issues with related to COVID and the critical race theory that is being touted as something that should be taught or not taught. These are controversial issues that have political ramifications, both locally and nationally and statewide. So I have great sympathy for those people who are putting themselves forward as candidates in this environment. And certainly, there's a great deal of variety about what's happening in the schools versus the masking issue. And we all see on the media the disruptive school board meetings that we've seen at Ankeny and some of the surrounding areas, where it seems like the anti-masking people are the most vocal and active and most disruptive, because they really interpret masking as an issue of personal freedom and even a constitutional issue. And the people who are pro-masking and more concerned about spreading the COVID-19 are focused on not only the science of this issue, but also the idea that when you look at personal freedom, your personal freedom is limited by your actions as they affect other people. So their counter argument is saying that in a health crisis, you have the responsibility to behave in certain ways that prevent spread of this illness. So this is a debate that's quite lively and quite politically oriented, and quite divisive in communities. And some communities, it's not a big issue. Some communities, it really is. And of course, if there's a mandate, then you're really talking about black and white. Either you have the mandate or you don't. You have no mandate and school masking is optional, then the issue is not quite as pronounced. But as soon as the school board issues a masking mandate, then the battle lines are drawn. And in this environment, people running for the school board, not only Des Moines in large areas, but in the smallest towns, all these issues come to the fore. So it's going to be a very interesting election. And I think the real great byproduct of this is that when you have controversy, voting participation goes up. And typically, in school board elections, people are so passive about voting that participation is normally low. So I'm hoping that one byproduct of this is for the vote to be heavy and very active because of the controversial issues that are on the docket. So the silver lining here might be the increased voter participation in elections that are really not known for high participation. So there's always a flip side where something positive happens, but it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And I really enjoyed hearing the comments by the person from the League of Women Voters because they do so much to facilitate voting and get information out. And she was very helpful about not only talking about all the voting sites and the procedures and everything that you need to be aware of, but she gave information about how to reach their website and all the information that they have. It's really good that organizations like that make sure that voting is not only easy, but people are informed about voting, particularly when there might be changes in the law regarding voting and eligibility and polling dates and times and all this, because everyone needs to be informed, and there is a place to go. And I think she really illustrated where help is available. So nobody should be in ignorance about where or when or how to vote. Very, very helpful. And I think when you're as old as I am, you remember a time when there wasn't that much information out there, and everyone voted in person, and it was simpler, but also we could be a lot less educated about voting than we are today. So I really enjoyed her segment about where to vote, how to vote, and what the guidelines are currently. And I'm excited that we may have great voter participation, and I'm excited that a lot of people are plugged into the issues involved and will vote accordingly. So
that's great.
I think we live in exciting times. Let's put it that way.
Yes. So I have a question for both of you. So as you think about being, and for our listeners who are thinking about maybe some of those first-time voters out there, so what advice do you have to be an engaged and an informed citizen in these days? And I would add, respectful.
Well, there's so much more information out there. I mean, school board elections used to be really low turnout. And I have a story about that before we close, about once when I was in the election board and we had just 6 voters. That was in by the campus. It was in the Memorial Lutheran Church right across from the Union. And I was a substitute on that. For that election, and there were only 3. There were actually 3 poll workers, and there were 6 voters. But it's an election no one will ever forget. It was
September 11th, 2001.
And when I got there, I had to excuse myself. My husband came to pick me up so I could vote in my own precinct. On the radio, while we were driving, I heard about a plane flying into a building in New York. And I thought, that's unbelievable. Wish I could see that. Of course, before the day was over, I'd seen it many times because there was a television set in the building. That was a low turnout election. So you can hope that the big issues are on the ballot.
Well, you know, Susan and Paul, usually I do a heart-to-heart message. I found this quote and just wanted to have you guys respond to. I don't know if you've heard of this gentleman named Thomas Elrick, but he writes, "Civic engagement means working to make a difference in the civic life of our communities and developing the combination of knowledge, skills, values, and motivation to make that difference. It means promoting the quality of life in a community through both political and non-political processes." And I think KHOI certainly does that, but just wanted to ask maybe Paul to start. I mean, what do you think that about this quote and about civic engagement?
Well, I think that the big enemy of democracy is apathy, and that is people not feeling connected to the democratic process and taking for granted the opportunity they have to participate not only as voters and voting on election day, but in informing themselves about the issues, you know. And one of the great benefits of controversy is that people's interest is heightened and they may pay attention more than they normally do. And I think that's why in the 2020 presidential election, we had such high turnout in the, you know, nationwide. And of course, when you get that on a presidential ticket, you get huge participation in local voting too, and for legislative offices and local offices. So controversy and involvement breeds participation. And I think that the big problem is that people need information that's accurate. And I think KHOI does a good job of making sure that voices are heard, particularly in local elections and local issues. And I think that there are so many things that are sources of information today that may not have credibility. We all know about social platforms and things put on those platforms by people just typing in random facts in their pajamas every morning. So there are a lot of unreliable sources of information out there that were not really existent until recently. So old Senator Moynihan from New York used to say that everyone has a right to their own opinions, but not their own facts. Well, in today's environment, everyone has their own facts too, because there are so many sources of information and so much information out there that is deliberately put on the web that's highly inaccurate and prejudiced. And so it's really a job today for voters to inform themselves and be able to split out facts from fiction. And I think the traditional media, that is radio and television, and probably excluding cable news here, is the most reliable source of information simply because somebody is doing editorial control. And we have to remember that Dan Rather lost a job that paid $8 million a year because he didn't do the proper journalistic verification for his story. And that's because there was people at CBS News that had editorial control. And so that's what you look at if you're looking for sourced information. Are you dealing with an organization that follows journalistic rules and rules of, cooperation of stories and validation and verification of facts? Or are you just dealing with an ad hoc opinion type source, such as cable news or anything on social networks? That's the big question you have to ask. Is there an editor? Is someone making choices regarding this information that validate something before it's put out there in print or on the air? And that's one thing I think that we're doing at KHOI, is putting people on the air who are directly involved so that they have the opportunity to speak, and that we who interview them and deal with them have the opportunity to query them and question them in a way that we hope it reveals their attitude and their positions on issues to the general public. So the issue in today's world is your news source and information source, and what is the validity of that source, and who are the gatekeepers that say, here's how you validate facts and corroborate information and determine to your best ability what the facts are. And of course, the best forum is the one where the actual candidates have an opportunity to be interviewed and talk, say what their issues are and what their intentions are if elected. So now, during this season now with this show and all the other things that go on KHOI during this election season, I'm reasonably proud about what we do and reasonably proud about the opportunity to get the issues discussed, voter information out there.
That's right. Do you know what we are, Paul, at KHOI?
What?
What?
We are apathy's worst nightmare.
I grew up in a world where there were only three television networks and very few radio outlets, too, so that we had the opportunity to listen to those three networks, and we trusted our news sources. You know, Walter Cronkite and people like that, they had great credibility, and there were not so many confusing sources out there that were not validated by facts, you know. And everybody had to face an editor and put a story on the air after they had done all the legwork to verify that it was a factual story. And now a lot of that confidence has vanished. And so we live in a much more complex and complicated world. And it's our responsibility to sort out the facts and say, hey, here's the truth.
Thank you, Paul. We've had some great final statements. Another time I'll tell how we verify our facts on KHOI and how we make sure you get balanced stories. That's tune in later, because it's now time to say goodbye. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franz and Paul Weerson. Anna Magnuson, thank you so much, Anna, for joining us. You added so much. And Mike, of course, who is our engineer and more. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon, you can hear a rebroadcast of Capital Week, originally aired on Monday at 7 p.m. And that's where you can hear a couple of in-depth interviews with a couple of the candidates. You can listen to today's Local Talk Show and any of our past Local Talk Shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Incidentally, this week's Capital Week interviews with two AIM school boards, Amy Erica Smith and Kelly Winfrey. Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. And you can call 515-292-2878 if you want to join us or become a member. If you go to our website, khoifm.org, and hit the yellow donate, become a member button. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.